Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers! Hi, Susie, what's up?
Hi, Barbara. Welcome to episode 152 of the Groom Pod, recorded on February 4th, 2018 in Snohomish, Washington, and Tucson, Arizona. This episode of the Groom Pod is sponsored by Stazco Products, featuring the famous Stazco Conditioning Spray. Find them online and at your favorite distributors. This week on the Groom Pod, we're going to discuss the PetGroomer.com Grooming Wage Survey. Our definition du jour today is the ingredient comparison of those little grooming fizzy tablets. And we're going to talk a little bit about air quality. So you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/group/thegroompod. And that's where you ask all your questions or chat with us or post pictures or anything you want. You can subscribe to the podcast on Stitcher, on iTunes, and on Google Play or anywhere else. You can find all things GroomPod related, including our Amazon banner, our donation button, and the Patreon button at www.thegroompod.com. Thank you for sharing us with your pals, and remember to support our sponsors. What's new this week? Brought to you by Barbara's Shopping Site. Shop for specialty grooming items at www.shop.beaver.biz. Shop with a groomer. It's good karma. It's garage sale week.
Yippee! At last we got the garage sale together. I just have to thank you so much for taking those pictures to kind of facilitate this. And to all my friends out there, what I'm doing, it's a clearance sale of my inventory of shears that I've had for, all of these items are brand new, but they've been sitting in my inventory for a couple of years, you know, so they've been with me for a long time, but they haven't been used. And so it's a kind of a ganga deal on these.
Well, this is a casualty of me getting to play in Barbara's stuff. I discovered just all these shears that were not on the website, that were kind of hiding and not in groomers' hands where they need to be. And it's true that every single one of them I wanted to buy for myself, but I have to stop that. Plenty of shears. But I know there's guys out there, guys and gals, ladies, groomers, people out there who would love a great deal on shears. And the thing is, you've got to pay the shipping, but they are screaming cheap deals for these shears. I've had my hands on every single pair.
That's right. Well, we handled every single pair as we made the pictures and itemized them. And now everything's up and ready for y'all to take a look and pick a shears and buy it.
Yeah, so all you've got to do is comment that you want them, comment sold or something to that nature, and then Barbara and you will hook up and we'll get those shears out to you. And there's one pair of shears that there's a duplicate of, and I put that on there. And I wanted to thank you, Barbara, because you did that Word document, I was able to just cut and paste the description onto the pictures. So I pulled the picture up, I tweaked it on Photoshop, I threw in the description, and I posted them on Facebook. So they're all up there now, but you have to join the group Groom Pod Scissor Sale to see them. And unfortunately, I can't remember how to make it so that I don't have to approve everybody. So I've got to approve you. So it may take, I keep checking back, and more people are getting on there. But to buy the shears at the shears sale, you have to be on the Groom Pod Scissors Facebook group list. Facebook group. That's it. No list. I know that sounded funny. So that is cool. And they're good deals. And they're nice scissors. And the descriptions are good. They're well made. They're not crappy junk. You know, it's good stuff. And the deal is, at some point in time, you've got to assess what you have that you're selling in your retail section, what makes you money and what isn't making you money. And at this point, there are so many sheer manufacturers and people. I mean, I've talked to a guy in Pakistan who makes shears by hand, wants to sell me 15 shears. And I thought, you know, it would be fun if you put Groom Pod on them and they were cheap enough, I could give them away to Patreon, Patreon people.
Yeah.
So I'm continuing to talk with him. And I hope he knows I'm married, you know, and he hasn't sent me anything forward or anything like that. But I've seen pictures of his work and I asked him to take a picture out the window because it's Pakistan and I didn't know what that looked like. So I thought that was really cool. So now I kind of have a pen pal in Pakistan, but there's just too many shears out there now to make it financially feasible to hold the inventory. And so for Barbara, it just seemed like the right thing to do is to get him out of there and get her out of the scissor business, at least for the time being, and focus on her intellectual properties. And I'm sure you guys would agree. And it'd really help if you went over there and bought some scissors. I am going to Knott's Berry Farm.
All right.
Yeah. It'll be March 5th, 6th, and 7th, which means that week will probably be a best of. You and I will probably record, but I'm not sure if I'll be able to stop, you know, riding the rides long enough to get it edited in time to be posted on that Friday. Mm-hmm. So it's possible that'll be a best of, but we'll talk about that a little bit more when it gets closer. But I have to say, I'm really excited. I need some roller coaster time. It'll make me feel all renewed and, you know, cause this is me all burnt out. this is burnt out, Susie. I need to be energized. Oh my gosh. You know, another way that I love to get energized, and I know that you enjoy this too, is grooming shows. And we've got a grooming show that comes up in April. And I was talking with my grooming pals and we're definitely going to, I mean, even if we can't stay in the hotel, we're going to go down there and have a really good girls' night out. Now Sharon's going to join us. We even have room for one more. We'll get, you know, enough room for four of us probably if we can get a suite anyway, and go down and hang out with the groomers. And it looks like we're going to have a get together also. Like a Facebook section. What I was thinking is maybe we'll put some name tags on so that we can all be at the mingle meet and greet thing, but we can identify each other. So I'm looking to do that, trying to figure that, because, you know, I don't have enough to do. So one of the things that the Fabulous Groom Pod donations have gone to is our bandwidth, which I paid for this week. But another thing that Groom Pod money did is it bought me video editing software to edit your videos, Barbara.
Oh, good.
All the stuff that we shot down there. And those are going to go up as Patreon rewards. So if you're interested in that, that button is on our website. And Barbara did some good video, and I've got to learn how to edit video. And that's why it's taking me so long to get it up. But I now have better software. I fought with some free video editing software for like 4 days. It's not like iMovie like yours. That was easy.
Yeah.
It was this horrible free, and I didn't want to invest any money. And I finally just thought, screw it. I'm going to buy the basic version of the good video software editor. So $66 of your Groom Pod money went to Photoshop for Susie. Photoshop and Premiere, which is the photo and video editor put out by Adobe. One other thing happened this week that was kind of interesting. I think I figured out why my fingers are splitting.
Oh.
And I think I figured out why it isn't the hand that's in the water and rubbing in the shampoo, because I've always blamed the shampoo. And it used to be the shampoo for sure. And I had kind of conquered it for a while. And then, oh, I don't know, about 4 or 5 months ago, the finger splits came on with a vengeance. I mean, I had vet wrap and Band-Aids and antibiotic ointment on 5 out of 5 fingers for like a week. And I couldn't figure out what it was. And we've talked a lot about hand maintenance and how to keep your hands from cracking. And I'm using gloves in a bottle and I'm doing it 3 times a day. And yet I still can't figure out why my hands went wacko just fairly, you know, recently in my recent past. I was sitting in my car driving along with 3 fingers vet wrapped, and I was reaching over into my passenger seat eating my very favorite new treat, Poppables potato chips.
Poppables.
They are in basket weave, oval-shaped potato chip. They're like reconstituted potatoes, but they're in this really neat ball or kind of a football shape, and they split in half and they're super duper salty. And I love them. I'm totally hooked on them. And I was reaching in the bag with my taped up fingers, and I realized that the fingers I was reaching in the bag with to grab the chip were my fingers that were split, and a light bulb went off. And I think my snacking choice is splitting my fingers.
Oh my God.
What do you think? Is this even possible?
It makes sense. Because we know, first of all, your hands, your particular hands, have a tendency to develop finger splits. So they tendency, and salt is very drying. And so you're just kind of removing the natural lubricant from the tips of your fingers, sticking it in salt over and over and over and over and over and over and over again.
And doggone it, the Lay's company really has me by the ponytail, because they're too expensive. They know that people like these chips, but obviously they're going to be labor intensive because they're in this weird basket shape. They put them on sale. You have to buy two to get them at the cheaper price. So I go in and buy four bags of these chips. I throw them in the back of my car. These are big, regular size bags of chips.
Wow.
And I bring one in the house to share with my husband. And then I sit there in the car, and instead of stopping for lunch, I'm like, oh, I've got the chips. And I reach back there and I open. I got a chip clip right next to me. This is horrible. I love these chips. And so I'm thinking, maybe I need to wear gloves when I'm driving so that when I reach into the chip bag, I'm not doing as much damage on my fingers.
Listen, I'm going to tell you, I'll tell on myself. I try to stay away from chips, but I also occasionally just love the salty treat. And I have also made chips a whole meal, usually accompanied by a couple of bottles of beer or a glass of wine. Beer goes real well with, but I do the wine and potato chips, and that's it. And you know what? I woke up the next day, and I did this for one night last week, just potato chip dinner. I woke up the next morning, and I took my blood pressure, and it had skyrocketed to 171.
Interestingly enough, I had higher blood pressure than normal. I pretty much run with low blood pressure, but it had gotten a little bit higher a couple years ago. And it was because I'm convinced it was Cheetos. Cheetos were the problem. But this time the chips aren't dry. I'm not having the things that alerted me to that I was having high blood pressure. So I don't think I am. Well, I don't know. Maybe Cheetos are saltier than these salty potato chips. These are sea salt flavored potato chips. It doesn't get any saltier than that. That's like a salty snack item with salt on it. But I love them. I really do. I haven't eaten potato chips in years. I don't particularly care for them, but I'm hooked on these. Not quite sure how it's going to resolve itself. I'm hoping it's a phase. I go through a lot of food phases, so I'm hoping I pass through this one and my fingers survive.
What can I say? I don't want you to have me. It's not a good idea to skip a meal and eat potato chips, even though I admit I also have done it. And it's because I live alone, and who can tell, you know?
And sometimes I'm just trying to be less late.
I know. It's a convenience. I ate potato chips for dinner because I was just like too tired to heat up something.
To my credit, I am pretty good with portion control. Like, I don't open the bag and eat the entire bag. That's not me. I just eat what it takes me to get from spot to spot. And I close it back up, and I don't bother it when I'm grooming. And I can tell I've been doing it for a while, because if you look between my seat and the armrest, you can see
There's a lot of crumbs.
Ah, well, such is the life of a mobile groomer.
You are never going to grow up, Susie Scott. I'm convinced. I know it now. Every time you think you're adulting, you run off to Knoxbury Farm and go on rides for a week. That's my gal.
Have you come up with any ideas for your next webinar? Maybe we can get some suggestions from the group. What do you think?
Well, I would like to do the safety issues related to grooming ingredients.
Okay.
So, you know, like I got to nail a title for it, you know, but it's the conversation of, are there harmful ingredients?
Right. We've got a discussion on Facebook right now. I don't know if you saw it because you've been waiting for me to get ready this morning, but there is a new groomer who is getting red bumps on multiple dogs, not just one dog. So more than one dog is coming back with red bumps. And many of our GroomPod supporters, of course, immediately question whether it's contaminated shampoo. That kind of safety is what you're talking about, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, I think that's a great idea. If you guys want to hear that, let us know on the group and we'll focus on that because we need to get another webinar out.
I do. I need to get one out for February. I'd like to get one out before the end of the month or do one in conjunction with Atlanta Pet Fair so that all of us who can't travel.
I like the sound of that.
I'm kind of bummed out about not being at Atlanta this year. It sounds like it's going to be a really super good show.
It's always been one of my favorites, but I don't love where the show is. I don't love the location of the show. So I've been trying to mix it up in my mind about other places to go because I don't do more than one traveling usually show away from home right now with the diabetic cat, the new bird. So I kind of like to keep it close to home. So you know, I know what Atlanta's like. I don't have any desire ever to go to Super Zoo again, I have to say. It was just not my kind of place, not my kind of thing. Yeah, it was just not ideal for me, although I'm glad I went. No question about it. I don't think that would be a first choice for me. But I haven't been to Chicago, and since I don't have the boat, I'm not traveling that month on the boat. So that's a possibility. Or, you know, maybe even some of the littler shows. Maybe Mardi Paws. Mm-hmm. Or Fun in the Sun or something like that. Even though I love Atlanta Pet Fair and it is my favorite, I'm kind of taking an Atlanta Pet Fair break this year.
Okay. Okay.
This year. I would like to magic carpet you to somewhere so you wouldn't have to deal with the travel part because I know that's a little rough on you. But I haven't figured out how to do that in any other manner except for online. But we can do it online and we can do it with a webinar. So I like the idea of tying in with Atlanta Pet Fair for those of us who aren't going to travel there. Let's take a break and hear from Best Shot. And then we're going to get to our first appointment, which is all about the petgroomer.com annual groomer wage survey. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner. And what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. Well, I just wanted to say that I really appreciate Stephen from PetGroomer.com for putting together this survey every year. You know, it's a really pretty accurate, hands-on-the-ground survey that they take the time to compile that comes out a little bit differently than a lot of the other surveys you see in the industry. So you've known Stephen for a lot longer than I have. He really has devoted a lot of his time to the grooming industry, hasn't he?
His life and his mother's life ahead of him. You know, that family has dedicated themselves to the grooming industry, and I think are kind of underappreciated. So I second that emotion of acknowledging Stephen for all of the efforts that he puts in, and especially right now we have another comprehensive review of the industry by actual groomers participating in a survey. So I haven't had a chance, I confess, to read that. What did you glean?
Oh, I gleaned. I read it all last night, and then I read it again this morning. Seemed like last night. I read it this morning. I kind of plowed over it carefully, and I pulled out some interesting facts. Grooming is up overall financially. Everybody's up a little bit. So that's always good news. I'm not so sure it's up as much as the inflation is hitting us, but at least we're not falling too far behind. So on average, anywhere from like 0.65% to 4% growth in the grooming industry, depending on where you fall. And they kind of separate it out into parts of the country and types of groomers. So they've got groomers that are employed in a shop situation. They have mobiles and house call groomers that are employed by someone. Then they've got self-employed groomers and self-employed mobile and house call. So they've got it. Those four groups are separated out. So they found that the highest annual gross wage for an employed groomer. So this is a groomer working as an employee at a shop. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
$78,000.
Wow.
I know. That's really good for an employee to work for somebody and to make $78,000. Now, the only thing that when I'm looking at these numbers, I know that there are some really, really, really well-paid mobile groomers out there. I don't think they made it to the 2,500 groomers on this list, just as a preemptive strike there. But the national average for an employed groomer is about $32,000 a year. The medium income of self-employed non-mobile groomers is about $4,000 higher than an employed groomer. So if you work for somebody, you're going to make approximately, on average, $4,000 less than someone who works for themselves. So that is, and
That's not that much.
That's what I was thinking. So that was an interesting point.
I know in my situation, sometimes my employees have taken home more money than I've taken home. There are weeks when I live on my tips. The ownership is not all that it's fantasized to be.
It's true. You know, I liked being an employee to a certain extent at the vet hospital because I was the only one of my type. I was the only groomer there, and my cards were up with the doctor's cards. So I was appreciated and respected in that vet hospital tremendously. And I loved being an employee there. I loved being part of a staff and all of that stuff. But I also really like working for myself. And as it turns out, the most lucrative grooming position you could possibly have is mobile groomer self-employed.
There you go.
The thing that I noticed is between the highest paid shop groomers that own their own shops and the highest paid mobile groomers, there is not that much difference. So if you're a really well-paid shop groomer and you've got a great reputation and you're doing well-priced dogs, you can make as much as a mobile groomer can. I also noticed there was a considerable difference in where you live as far as what you can charge. And they have a graph on their article that is fantastic in exposing that. They also include bathers. They have bathers in there as well. They split it up in this way. New England, that's where most expensive grooming takes place, is in New England. They are the most expensive place to run a grooming shop or to get your dog groomed. Actually, it's probably more accurate, is New England. The Mid-Atlantic, they have separated those two out to two separate things. However, the West Coast, they just call it the Pacific. So we're one place, and they are the two probably highest value land properties in the world. So I would contend that if you count Southern California and Western Washington, you would probably have the most expensive grooming. Right there, Southern California, Western Washington. But because the way they divide it up, it falls into New England and into the Atlantic. So we're number four. They've got the Pacific Coast number four. And I think that's because there's a lot of space in California where there's some lesser economies. You know, not everybody is Los Angeles, you know. So right. I think, you know, you always have to analyze these surveys a little bit. And out of just 2,500 groomers, Groomer to Groomer has 30,000 groomers on their subscription list. So 2,500 groomers really is not a huge sample, but it is a true sample. It's accurate. For a small survey, it's really accurate. Actually, the wages, the grooming wages, I thought that they would vary more, but they really don't vary that much. I think they vary from shop to shop more than they vary from neighborhood to neighborhood. You know, like I know people who are charging $45 still doing mobile dogs, you know, and I don't even, I start at 85, and I know other people start even higher than I do. And the shop groomers, they're catching up. Maybe us mobile groomers need to hike it up a little bit, but I'll say in the Northwest, we're charging appropriately. It looks like, because we definitely are getting the money for the mobiles, the difference between mobile and shop was bigger, I thought, in the Northwest than it was in a lot of the other areas, especially where there is less financial means. I think that mobile and shop are closer together, but where there's more financial means, then mobile goes out ahead and shop stays a little bit behind. What do you think?
Okay, so that makes sense. So that in areas where there's people that can afford it, you can charge a lot more as a mobile and give that service. When you're in a low-income area, people can't afford that extra money for a mobile.
And yeah. I think being mobile isn't about the money so much as it is about the independence.
Yeah.
It's a specific kind of person who is a mobile groomer, and it costs more to be a mobile groomer than it does probably to be a shop groomer in some cases. Than other cases, it might cost more to be a shop groomer than it is to use my already paid for mobile grooming trailer. So there's such variables involved.
But this is a
really fun survey to look at. I enjoyed reading it. And you guys go to petgroomer.com and you will find it there. And you too can look, and we can discuss online if you want to discuss some more.
Great.
All right. Cool.
That's good. Thank you.
All right. Take a break real quick and hear from South Park and then back to school. Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars.
running and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Time for veterinary vocabulary, Barbara.
Okay.
Have you heard the word atopy? A-T-O-P-Y?
Atopy. Yeah. I know, well, I've heard atopsis.
Okay, what's that mean?
Atopsis is a state of death of cells.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Atopy, so, or atopy, depending on how you want to say it, is the tendency.
You say atopy and I say atopy.
Woohoo!
Okay.
A genetic tendency to develop allergies, inhaled allergies, or food allergies generally. But it is the predisposition to have an immune system that fights the histamine. So that's what atopy is. And they use it a lot with dogs that have generalized allergies where they can't find it being food and they can't find it to be the carpet cleaner, or, you know, they can't find it to be grass. They can't locate what it is. They just call them atopy dogs. And,
well, you know what I think?
What?
Vaccinations.
Maybe so.
I'm sorry, but some of the dogs that I've seen that have had the most incurable allergy things are dogs that have had every single year all of their shots.
I can't see that as being a benefit, because in people, we get the same volume of vaccine and we get it twice and it's good for 90 years. You know, why is it that we're thinking that the dogs is only good for a year? It's because we need to keep the veterinarians employed. And because if it wasn't for the vaccines, a lot of people wouldn't bring their dogs into the vet ever. You know, and a lot of stuff would go undiagnosed. I get why they did it, but I'm kind of with you. I think we're way overdoing it with the vaccines.
Well, we digress, but but if you're going to talk about atopic allergies, I've got to say that.
Yes.
That's my observation of 50 years of grooming. And so yeah. There, you know, I just very much suspect that there's a strong connection between over vaccination, over stimulating the immune system.
So,
and then the immune system just gets hyper reactive.
Yep, and it fights itself. It just goes back.
Identifies everything as the enemy.
Yeah. So my two Westie house, the Westies that just got another Westie, they had one, now they've got two, Maddie and Murphy. Well, Murphy, I groomed him the first time, everything was great. Now he's itching like crazy. He started itching about a month after grooming. I don't know if he has a flea allergy, but I just saw him. He's got a big greasy spot. The poor guy's only like 4 months old. 4 months old. I feel he's all chewed up under here. You know, he's just a baby. I felt horrible for them. So I'm hoping it was a flea allergy. I'm hoping he got a bite and it's a flea allergy and he just went crazy on it and created a yeast infection under his arms because he could reach there. That's my hope. But that's what brought me to the atopy or atopy topic. So let's go on to the grooming glossary. The grooming glossary is throat latch. Throat latch is where the head and the neck join underneath the jaw. Throat latch.
Oh, okay.
And that's a place where we often go a little bit shorter to define, right?
Right, absolutely. And especially if the dog is short of neck.
That is so true.
Give that dog a nick. Go right to the throat latch, man. Do a seven blade there,
The little Havanese that stays with me, Figgy, she has no neck. Her head kind of sits right on her shoulders. So I do the old poodle shave the neck thing on her because the collar would just tangle because there was nowhere for it to sit. So now she has a Figgy haircut with a shaved neck and it's adorable. On to the definition du jour.
Okay. So, we've had a lot of interest lately on the Groom Pod discussion group about the tablet washing system that's like the Nagayu system. and the tablets that accompany that system that are also marketed on their own as pet grooming tablets. And then someone brought a contrast, the Warren London paw fizzy balls. Fizzy balls, right?
Are those more like the bath bomb thingy we were talking about?
Well, they're both of them are like bath bombs.
Okay.
So they're exactly like bath bombs. So when you make a bath bomb, you use citric acid, sodium bicarbonate, baking soda, and then maybe some cream of tartar or some something else in there and some Epsom salts. And it makes for a bath fizz. So when these tablets are both, wait a minute. Get it out of here.
Note search.
I do have the notes today. I have good notes. Let me see here.
Oh, you can see my hole.
So,
sorry.
Are you looking in your mouth while I'm looking for my notes?
Yes, I was.
God. Get out of here. Okay, so check this out. The pet grooming tabs have just 5 ingredients.
Okay.
Sodium bicarbonate, citric acid, sodium carbonate, PEG-6000, and sodium caprylyl sulfonate.
I love those words. You say I'm so good.
Well, that's thank you.
That does sound just
okay. So that's pretty basic, and it sounds. I mean, the sodium bicarbonate, citric acid, sodium carbonate. That's the fundamental ingredients of many bath bombs, and the Warren London Fizz Balls are fumaric acid, sodium carbonate, sodium bicarbonate.
So they've got a different kind of an acid.
They're just using a different acid. Fumaric acid is often commercially substituted for the sodium bicarbonate because it's it makes for a more stable product. It's not as quite as instant reacting as the citric acid. So it just makes up for a more stable product that has a better shelf life.
Okay.
Et cetera. So the fumaric acid, it's not exotic. It's not unheard of. It's commonly substituted for citric acid in a commercial system. Now, the Warren London goes on and has a bunch of other ingredients. Sorbitol, PEG-180, maltodextrin, fragrance, menthol, C10, C18, triglycerides, comfrey leaf extract, horsetail extract, kelp extract, thymol, melaleuca, tea tree oil, and sunflower seed oil, silica, sucrose stearate, chloramine T, and blue number one colorant.
Wow.
So that's a huge difference.
That's a lot of stuff in there.
They have the same basic chemistry.
Uh-huh.
And of course, what's involved in the chemistry is that you take an acid and you take a base and put them together and you get a reaction that produces carbon dioxide bubbles.
Okay.
The fizz, right?
Right.
That's it. So Warren London just has a lot of other stuff. The sorbitol, PEG-180, and maltodextrin are all binders.
Haven't we said in the past that when there's that much other stuff in there, there's probably just tiny bits of that stuff, right?
Well, yeah. And how much, I mean, you can't put that much other stuff in the bomb and have it hold together as a ball.
Without all that other stuff in there to glue it.
So you got to have all this other stuff to glue it all together, right?
Right.
The C10, C18 triglycerides, it's an emollient. It's going to be like a skin softener. And that ingredient can be synthetic, animal, or vegetable, which I found to be very interesting. But probably it's synthetic.
I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that too. Sucrose stearate is an emulsifier to help mix up and hold all of these oils and everything so that the oils don't just float to the top of the solution of the bath, you know. Right. Silica is in there probably for the luxurious skin feel. It just makes skin feel smooth and soft. Chloramine tea is a sodium salt used as a biocide and mild disinfectant. Now, so what they don't have that the pet grooming tabs have, the pet grooming tabs have the sodium caprylyl sulfonate, which is an anionic surfactant that aids cleaning action and provides foam. So that makes it look more... Well, I dissolved when I bought some of the pet grooming tabs. And by the way, there's a huge difference. The opposite of what you might suspect from looking at the ingredients. Usually when you look at an ingredient list that's just five items and an ingredient list like this is what, 15 or so, that the fewer ingredients are going to be a more economical priced product. But it's not so, because the pet grooming tabs cost $25 for 10, and the Warren London costs $45 for 300.
Okay, but I thought the one from Japan was $100 for $25. I'm looking it up now. Continue.
Okay, please, because we want to be accurate about this, and we've already offended people enough this month.
Oh, God.
We're sorry. I'm sorry that we mispronounced Nagayu. We did not mean to make fun of or demean the product.
And I want to say that I kind of mispronounced it because it wasn't actually a review of that product. It was a review of the science behind the product. So I didn't really want to throw out a name brand, particularly although we are known for that. I will admit it. So I mispronounced it and I can never remember. This time I wrote it down so that I didn't want to mispronounce it because the lady was nice enough to contact us. And, I just want to honor that. And the lore, the groomer lore is great on this stuff. You know, the people that are using it, it's great. And I've been chewing on that. We'll discuss that in a minute while I look this up anyway.
Okay, so where were we?
We were talking about how pricing-wise that the...
So we just said that the Warren London is considerably less money per unit, per bomb or ball.
Oh, I take it back. You're right.
I was right.
100 pieces is $125. Yeah. So you're saying that the lesser ingredients is actually the more expensive product in this case?
In this case, yeah. And I would say probably that has a lot to do with overseas shipping.
Oh, sure. That makes sense.
You know, it has nothing to do with what's a better product. Now, Warren London, the pet grooming tabs are marketed as an alternative to shampooing and for all over body use.
Okay.
Right? You can either soak the dog in a tub of with a tab, or you can use it as a rinse, or you can use it in their sprayer as a rinse, or you can soak a towel and wipe your dog down with it. So the Warren London fizz balls are marketed at this point for feet treatment. However, there's no reason why they can't be used all over the dog.
I think the only reason they can't be used all over the dog the way they're describing them is they're saying soak the feet. You would have to fill the water all the way up to here if you wanted to soak the whole dog. Right.
Well,
so the way that if they described it as putting it through a system, which they're not, then it would be more of an overall dog. Although they are saying towel the dog off with it. So I don't know. I think that's marketing writing. They should have.
I think it's just a marketing choice. I think that Warren London was kind of first on the market, and those feet tablets have been around for a long time, and they're marketing as a foot treatment, but they're marketing it as a treatment for fungus and itchy feet.
Okay.
You know, and it contains, I forgot to mention, it contains menthol. The Warren London Fizzballs contain menthol. It has a mild anesthetic action. You know, menthol makes your skin feel cool and it just kind of numbs the itch temporarily. I would say quite temporarily.
So not to speculate on the why it works, because I really don't know in my own experience why these people are having such great success with these systems. Other than if you can get people to get their dogs bathed more often and you're acidifying the skin's going to get better, right?
But these tablets do not acidify the skin. They alkalinize the skin. So this is the other side of the fence, to speak, because most cosmetics for skin and hair slightly acidify it. Whereas this is another whole assumption, especially the pet grooming tabs are marketed especially to be alkaline and to not disturb the natural pH of the dog, which is usually somewhat alkaline.
Right.
Now, that flies in the face of an article I was just reading. In fact, I paid $10 to download the PDF.
I'll pay you back for that.
It was a study of acidifying spray, four different acidifying sprays, and they compared to vinegar and water. Okay.
Okay.
But they're just a quote out of it. They say, and this is science, not marketing. They say there is evidence to support the theory that an acidic cutaneous pH decreases survival of microorganisms on the skin. In general, higher bacterial counts are retrieved from skin with alkaline pH levels. Additionally, when gram-negative bacteria are inoculated onto alkaline skin, gram-negative, that would be like our friend Pseudomonas aeruginosa.
That's the one.
The invisible enemy. They persist longer than on acidic skin.
Right. We had learned that the acid mantle that dogs don't have a good one of. That was way back. Maybe we need to revisit that.
One other statement. It has also been proposed that the relatively alkaline pH of canine skin may be a reason that skin infections are more common in dogs compared to humans and other animal species. So they're saying that this natural alkalinity of canine skin is not such a good thing.
But that flies against the lore of all these groomers who are having such success with these systems. I mean, you can read about them and they just rave about them. And even our own Scott Wasserman has one of these systems. And lots of people are going to try it, hopefully, because we should try new stuff. But I'm still trying to figure out how I could use it in my grooming trailer so that I could experiment with it just like everybody else. But I haven't figured out a way to do it because in my mind, when you suck the tiny bubbles up through the bathing beauty, there's no more tiny bubbles after it comes out the other end, is there?
The bubbles aren't what do the work. The bubbles are just CO2 gas escaping the solution. They're just the byproduct of the acid alkaline reaction. Okay.
So it's really just the solution itself. So then running it through a bathing beauty might actually be a great thing.
There's no reason to suspect that running it through the bathing beauty couldn't work. And yeah, it's going to work. It's not diluting it any more than if you were soaking it in a bathtub.
Okay. Because yeah. I'd like to try it. I want to see for myself what everybody's ranting and raving about, both sides.
I just wonder what they've been doing before they started doing the
treatment on the Yeasty Dogs. Yeah.
Were they using a recirculating system? Because see, I think a recirculating system itself does, you know, it deep cleans, it gets around warts and growths. And I'm not sure that I buy the premise that doggy odor is caused by fat and minerals.
Well, there's lots of different reasons for doggy odor.
There's lots of different odors, but the natural alkalinity of the dog skin leads to odor, in my understanding, because bacteria is thriving.
Right, so, and then it goes crazy, and then it smells like yeast.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm just like, I'm not so sure I buy the premise, but like yourself, I see results coming in anecdotally, but anecdotal results, I don't care. You could have 1,000 of them and it's still not
a blind study.
It's not a study. It's not scientific. It can be affected by so many variables, such as what I just said. What are they using to clean? And I don't think that our skin problems are caused by our shampoos, not in a general sort of a way. There may be specific instances of shampoo not working on a particular dog, but I don't think that they're the essence of evil.
Yeah, I tend to agree. All right.
I'm just not convinced that leaving an alkaline pH is such a great thing. And I'm not convinced that acidifying is bad. Yep. So I'm going to maintain a skeptical attitude. And I think that that's part of my job is to stay skeptical.
Yep.
And continue to try to respectfully challenge marketing claims, etc.
I think that's part of our goal. I think that's why we're here, is to educate and challenge and investigate. We do things that, you know, most groomers don't. Most groomers just go to work, groom, wash the dogs, go home. We want to think deeper. We want to get you guys to think deeper. That's our purpose. And, you know, I've been thinking very deeply about my evolution shears. I've decided I really like them. I'm on board with them. I like them. And I noticed you had some tutorial time with Chris this week.
Well, and I got some video. That reminds me, I got video yesterday. I had Lily take some video of my using swivel thumb shears to show to Chris, but I haven't finished the process. I haven't actually sent the video to her.
So you only got the beginning of the lesson. You haven't had the advanced lesson yet. Well, I'm in. I am so in on my shears. I love them. I haven't picked up my regular shears for a while now. You know, I do pick up the little detailing shears because I love them. And my offset straights, I use them a lot. But then I go right to the swivel thumbs, both of them, the curves and the straights. I'm really happy I got the curves and the straights and not the chunkers. I'm loving them. And you guys will love them too if you've got any hand issues at all. Or even if you just want to just take a different approach to scissoring, you should check out these Evolution Shears. They're at evolutionshears.com. You can find them also by calling 877-560-3057. And we have the Groom Pod has our very own personal salesperson, Chris, who will help you fit those shears. She'll work with you. She won't give up on you. She'll keep trying until she gets you comfortable. And believe me, it takes some time to get comfortable with these shears. But I'm good. Now I can flip them over without fumbling. You know, I just flip them over, scissor the inside, flip back over. You know, it is a little bit of a weird grip when I flip them over, but it's perfectly usable. I'm very happy with it. And I am moving on with my Evolution Shears firmly planted in my hand. So remember to ask for Chris and tell her the Groom Pod sent you. One more break, Barbara, and then it's our At the Table segment, which is about air care.
Okay.
If you're enjoying the Groom Pod and all the good things that happen here, and you want to help us continue to grow, consider doing your shopping at Amazon through our Amazon banner on the website. It won't cost you anything more, and the Groom Pod will get a percentage of your sale. This is by far the best way to help us pay for the show. Just go to our website, www.thegroompod.com, scroll to the bottom, and click on the Amazon ad. Then do your shopping as usual. We really appreciate each and every one of you guys who's been shopping at the Groom Pod's website. Thank you very much. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table.
We got a question on Facebook this week. We've actually had quite a few. I love that discussion group. What a supportive, great place we have. Great. So I'm going to read this to you from April Johnson. And she says, air quality, yuck. I recently noticed powdery white yuck on my ceiling in my mobile unit. It makes really cool designs like salt crystal patterns I've seen somewhere. I don't recall this being an issue in my last unit, but then the walls and ceiling were of different texture. I'm grossed out. I wear a mask when drying, but since seeing this, I'm wearing it start to finish. But now I'm not drinking enough water throughout the day because of the dang mask. I added the dang in there. Can we talk air quality? Air filters, air purifiers, HEPA.
Not a word I would have chosen.
I know. I said a swear in front of my husband and he goes, you know, you're just not a swearer. It doesn't suit you. I like to be creative. So I've been thinking about this and about what could be on her ceiling. Of course, moisture gathers up on the ceiling of my mobile unit. So up there, I get condensation and I will get mold up there. But it's a mold that kind of shows up in little spots inside the Rhino liner. And if I spray it with bleach, it disappears. Or, and you know, bleach is the best for that. I just take a diluted bleach mixture and I spray it and it's gone until the water gets on there. Maybe it's mold. That's the only thing I can think of up there. The other thing was I thought maybe it was ice crystals, but when she described it as salt, probably not ice crystals. And her ceiling is made up of, I think she said it was like plastic, like a vinyl or a plastic ceiling. What do you think she's getting on her ceiling? Any ideas?
Well, no, I'm flummoxed.
Well, I looked up mold, thinking that it might be mold. And as I was reading, I found out, I Googled white mold first. And it turns out that white mold is just mold in its earliest stages.
Baby mold?
Yep, it's baby mold. The spores are what turn the mold a color. So, you know, be it red or blue or green or black or whatever color the mold is, it's the spores that turn them. What are you looking at?
I'm looking at the mold on my ceiling.
Oh.
It's mostly brown and black.
Yeah, that's spores. So it's got spores. So it's possible it's mold. But here's the good thing and the bad thing about mold. Some people, mold doesn't bother. I think I'm one of those people. I'm not affected by mold. I know I'm not allergic to mold because it only came up as like a 2 on my sensitivities. So. Uh-huh. Very mild, if anything, thank goodness. Mold and dust are the two things that I'm not allergic to. Thank goodness, because I hate dusting. Hate it. So some people are affected by mold, but a lot of people are not affected at all by mold. It doesn't matter what color the mold is. It just doesn't bother your system. Some people, however, are affected by mold. I think that wearing a mask is always a good idea, don't you?
Yes. You know, all of the Asian groomers, you'll find a much greater percentage of people that wear masks during their whole grooming. It's just sort of like, they've just been trained that way. They're much more comfortable using masks. They wear masks outside.
I know, I've seen it.
You know, so wearing a mask in some countries is not uncool. as right. it is here. It's considered not cool, you know?
Yes.
That look is not cool. And so we don't do it. I can't get, like I have to practically put a face mask on Yvonne to get her to use it. I get them cute. I get them with paw prints. I just do everything I can to make them be attractive and whatever. And I have no qualms putting one of those things on. If I go back to help with the D-shed, I immediately put on a mask.
Yeah, me
because
too.
Because there's just, anytime you're stirring up the air, you know, and we're stirring up the air all day long with those forced air dryers that we use.
I have a tendency to do the nose and the shirt tuck when I'm just like when I'm Dremeling or lesser stuff, but I'll whip out. I have dollar store masks. I just buy there's like 10 of them in the package and I just buy them and I use them and I throw them away. They're made out of paper. They're not environmentally bad. I feel pretty good about that. Always when I'm de-shedding, not all the time though, because they fog up my glasses. When I have the mask on, my glasses fogs up and it drives me crazy. I haven't figured out a way past that yet. But other than releasing my nose, which I'm not sure I breathe through, I'm a mouth breather anyway. So just letting my nose out seems to eliminate a lot of the glasses fogging up.
Seems to me that I don't get the glasses fogging up so much with the cloth masks.
Some of it could be my grooming trailer because it's so small and foggy.
Yeah, that's true.
So I know that air conditioners and dehumidifiers do some air purification, don't they? I mean, I don't have a lot of experience with either one of them because we don't really, I mean, what's the point here?
Well, anytime you see the biggest problem in the mobile unit is the lack of air movement. And so anytime you can take some of that humidity, I mean, just putting humidity in the air over and over and over again as you groom throughout the day. And then if you take it that you, like yourself, when you live where there's a higher relative humidity to begin with, you're just saturating your air over and over again. Anytime you got water collecting, you're going to have mold and bacteria and microbial growth.
In the mobiles, we don't have enough power to run some of those big dehumidifiers, but a lot of them came with air conditioners. Mine did not. So I don't have that, but maybe some of the difference in what she had before and what she has now was size of the trailer. That could be because if it's more humid, because it's a smaller trailer, then that might be causing more mold growth because just from being wet. So maybe a fantastic fan vent to get some of the air out. If you don't have one of those, that might help. I'm trying to think of just anything that to help her out. I mean, I've given up. It's just, it's wet in there. I can't even get the hair off of places because it's just so plastered and wet. And until it stops raining, which it won't for another month, it's pointless for me to try to really clean my trailer. I'm getting a little frustrated because the floor never dries out because my feet are wet. The dogs are wet. They shake. The floor's always wet, which means that underneath my floor mats, even though I put them up, it never really dries. I throw those mats back down and it can be a little odoriferous.
And odoriferous. What is the source of that odor?
I'm sure it's the water and bacteria and our friend Pseudomonas oreganosa.
Pseudomonas oreganosa is lurking there, ready to cause mischief.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, so I feel for you living in a high humidity area. Heat, if you can use a dryer that generates some heat and, you know, my canine too used to generate a lot of heat.
Mine does.
You know, so heat helps to evaporate humidity in the air. Air movement in the summertime, opening a window and running fan will help.
Yeah, I open everything up. That's what I do.
Yeah.
I mean, the minute I can, like March or April, as soon as it gets to be closer to 60, I'll just open everything up so that it finally dries out in there. Anyway, so I guess what the kind of wrap up is that it's just moister in there than it was in the last one. And I'm not sure exactly what's growing on your ceiling, but It's probably mold, maybe mold. It could be mold. There's one other thing that grows that looks like white mold, but it generally grows on wood or cement surfaces or masonry. And unless you've got those surfaces, it's probably mold. So there you go. I hope that helps.
So I would say, I would say, I think she's doing the right thing by wearing a mask all the time. And then she just needs to be mindful about the water drinking and set it up so that you like take the mask off to go get a dog or bring in a dog and so on and so forth. Grab a drink of water right then.
So change the habits. Set new habits.
Right. Set new habits and keep drinking water, because that's, you gotta hydrate your system up.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Okay. I think we're done. We're done.
I think we're drifting into lecturing you.
Yes, we are. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do after we're done, Barbara, today? Anything exciting?
Oh no, I'm gonna relax. It's beautiful out. I'm gonna spend a little bit of yard time. I'm gonna go out there. I have a couple of new fish. My pond guy brought me a couple of new fish. We've got some big goldfish in there, adding some color.
Oh, and, neat.
So I think I'll go out and stare at my fish and, you know, enjoy my...
Well, say hi to Shadow, Lucy, and Ethel, and Minikin.
Okay.
and let's meet back here next week and do it all over again, okay?
Okay, I'd like that.
All right. Happy grooming, everybody. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next week. Oh, don't forget to go to the scissor sale on Facebook, Groom Pod Scissor Sale. And bye-bye now.
Bye, groomers. Take care of yourselves.
All right.
Hydrate.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie@thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.